You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Dr. Herbert Bailey continues with Going Where You Haven't Gone Before.
Pastor Marcia and I, we're supposed to be on a staycation this week. Staycation, you're supposed to stay home but be on vacation. Y'all see where I'm at, right? They don't work. They don't work. I got to get up out of here. If I ain't going to work. We're continuing to teach on a series, and I believe this is part six that I will be teaching tonight, Going Where You Haven't Gone Before. And let's pick up at Hebrews, the 11th chapter, Hebrews 11 and verse 8. And it reads, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went, which means where he was going. By faith, he sojourned into the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we've been talking about this for the past 6 weeks or so, going where you haven't gone before, meaning breaking barriers, meaning going beyond the limits and constraints perhaps that you thought you had because of how you look or where you come from or the family you come from or the money you have or the money you don't have or your education or lack thereof or what you've been exposed to. I believe if you're in this church, God wants you to be some kind of barrier breaker. Amen. This is a barrier breaking church. We are barrier breaking people. We are not average. God did not call us to be average. If you want to be average, look at your neighbor and say, you need to go to another church. Tell them you need to go to another church. Okay? Because I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to get on your nerves because I'm always stretching us to believe God for more, to not settle. Amen. Because the word says it and I believe it and I take it and I internalize it, that the word says we're supposed to be the head and not the tail. We're supposed to be above only and not beneath. We're supposed to be the lender and not merely the borrower. Amen. And so God wants his people to be average. I mean, he wants his people to be above average. That's why he says stuff like, you have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So when we compare ourselves to average people or to the world, we're supposed to be far above. Everybody say far above. The Bible says that God raised us up with him to live above principalities and above above all the scriptures talks about the beggarly elements of this world, things that will keep you contained. And so we're looking at Abraham's story as a background and a backdrop to get lessons about how we go where we haven't gone before. And so we look at this from Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. And this, it takes about 25 years of Abraham's life, his story, and summarizes it in three verses and tells us that by faith, that all this is initially recorded when God called him in Genesis 12, by faith, when God called him to leave your mother, you leave your father, go to a land that I will show you. He didn't know where he was going. 75 is usually not the time that you think about moving anywhere. Packing up anywhere. Amen. And mind you, they didn't have 3 men in a truck back then, or 2 men in a truck. They didn't have American van lines. You know, I mean, to pack up and move at 75. Come on now. Are you serious, God? And not only that, I'm packing up and I'm going to a land you will show me. I don't have directions. It's tigers and lions and bears out here in the wilderness. And you just tell me to go somewhere. But he did it and says he, by faith, he did it. And he sojourned into the land of promise. And I want to focus on verse 9 tonight. By faith, he sojourned into the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. That's what I want to focus on tonight. Dwelling in tabernacles. Now, that word tabernacles is just a word for tents. Dwelled in tents. Tents is talking about temporary living places. And along with them, he had his sons. He had Isaac, and he's talking about Jacob, his grandson, and how they were this journey that God had them on. They didn't know where they were going, but they stepped out on faith, and they even had to dwell in tents. That tent dwelling, tabernacle existence, it means temporary places. It means temporary things and temporary circumstances. Say that. Say temporary places, temporary things, and temporary circumstances. Because see, on your way to your ultimate destination, on your way to the ultimate city, you may have to dwell in tents. You may have to have some temporary circumstances, some temporary situations, some temporary stops, but that's not your final destination. Amen. You got to know that on your way, even if you have to have a rest stop, it's not your final stop. Amen. Glory to God. I don't care how good the snacks are at the rest stop. I don't care how hot the coffee is at the rest stop and how nice the maps look on a wall at the rest stop. It's just a rest stop. It's not your destination. Amen.
Amen.
I remember those when I used to drive back in the day. Temporary places, temporary things, temporary circumstances, tents or tabernacles. It represents I'm not there yet and I'm here in this place. And sometimes it seems like it's a holding pattern, but it's just a tent. But here's the thing about a tent still gives you shelter. A tent, you still got a roof over your head. Come on now. A tent, the elements are still not able to get to you because you're in a tent. And somebody put it this way. I may not be where I ought to be, but I thank God I ain't where I used to be. I may not be what I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not where I used to be. In other words, I can see the progress. And even where I am right now, I'm still able to stay focused on my destination. Because God calls you to places, God calls you to things, but it's not one big giant step. Sometimes a lot of little steps before you take the big step. It's a lot of, the Bible says we walk by faith, right? And not by sight. It didn't say we run by faith. We walk by faith. And walking is just step by step. Walking is step by step. I mean, a lot of times, I know we wish we could skip steps and we can just move things along. But sometimes along, so God called you to this high calling. But before you get to their high calling, looks like you're operating in a lower calling. Amen. God called you to this ultimate place. But before you get to the ultimate place, you may be in some temporary places. God called you to have this great business that you own. And on the way, you may have to work for somebody else. Are y'all listening to me? I'm talking about on the way, still being able to dwell in temporary places, deal with temporary things and temporary circumstances. And yet, no, this is not my final destination. So when a man wanted to follow Jesus one time, Jesus warned him that you might have to live in tents. I know you said you'll follow me. I know you said you listen to me. Look at Matthew 8. Matthew 8. This scripture has often been quoted and even out of context. But I'm going to explain the context. It's recorded in two of the Gospels. It's in Matthew and I believe it's in Mark. Matthew 8, verses 19 and 20 says, "And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Jesus said, really? Will you? And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man hath not where or nowhere to lay his head." Now, y'all need to understand, a lot of people try to preach this like this was Jesus, Jesus' permanent lot in life. That was not Jesus' permanent lot in life. Because there's another place where where some nosy folk came along. They said, "Lord, show us where thou dwellest." And he said, "All right, come and see." And he took all them to his house. All right. So this was a temporary situation. It's a temporary situation because I believe the other gospel that records it, it says Jesus went into another village. And when he goes into this other village, then this man comes up to him and says, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said, "Will you?" Well, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. What he meant was, I'm living by faith. I'm walking by faith. And tonight, I don't know where I'm going to stay. Tonight, I don't know where I'm going to sleep. Are you sure you want to live this kind of life? Oh, you said you'll follow me wherever I go. But you need to understand, to follow me wherever I go, you may not know where I'm going. Because from day to day and sometimes moment to moment, I don't know where I'm going. Because I walk by faith and not by sight. And I don't know where I'm going tonight. I don't know where I'm going to stay tonight. And if you always got to have your reservation at the Hyatt, and at the Westin, and at the Marriott, maybe you don't want to follow me because you can't predict this and outline this kind of life. You can't make all your reservations in advance. You can't have all your meals cooked and planned out for the week in advance. when you live this kind of life. And that's what Jesus was saying to him. Are you sure you're ready to follow me? Because a lot of times we think we want to be great, but we're not willing to live in tents. We can't tolerate inconveniences. We can't tolerate not having everything the way we want it, when we want it, and having our ideal life. Well, you're not ready to live this life of faith. There were times when, in the early days, Pastor Moss would ask me certain questions, and she got proficient just like me. You know, well, how are we going to do this? Where is going? I'm like, I don't know. I really couldn't tell her. You know, I don't think I said I don't know. I said, you know, God going to provide. God got a plan. I don't know how he's going to provide. I don't know the plan, but I know he's a God. He's God, and he got a plan, and he's not going to leave us. He's not going to leave us high and dry. That's what walking by faith is. Remember, I said it's that comfortability with walking, going into dark places. So tent living, it means learning to live sometimes with what you have until what you want shows up. I'm on this journey of faith. God has shown me I'm going to be a millionaire. God has shown me I'm going to pay for other people's college tuition. God has shown me I'm going to give away cars. Right now, I'm just trying to get a new tire for my car. Come on, you know you're struggling when you want a tire, not tires. Come on, some of y'all don't know. You ain't even supposed to get one tire. You got to buy at least two. But come on, don't raise your hand. Just wiggle your toe at me if you know what it means to just be believing God for a tire. I work the next one when the nap one go out. Because we roll by faith, not by sight. So tent living, it means learning to live with what you have until what you want shows up. And that's what Paul talks about in Philippians. And we're going to use Paul. We're going to see like Abraham. Paul had to learn to live this life of faith, living in tents and working with tents. Philippians 4, starting verse 11. And Paul, remember, the book of Philippians is this commendation book, this thank you letter, this y'all, I really appreciate you. It's an appreciation letter to his closest and dearest partner church. But he kind of, he summarizes how he started. He said, he goes on, he says, I'm blessed now, but let me remind you where I started. In the beginning of my ministry, nobody gave me anything but you. You were the only people helping me. I didn't have an overflow. I didn't have a whole bunch of members. I didn't have a whole bunch of partners. I had you. And you helped me from time to time. And so he says in Philippians 4, starting verse 11, not that I speak in respect to want. He said, I'm not crying victim here. I'm not telling y'all I got a whole bunch of needs I want you to fulfill. That's not why I'm writing this to you. Because I have learned, everybody say learned. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. Instructed who? By God. Both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do. Here's the context of this. He's not talking about I can lift any car and I can lift any weight and I can run through any mountain. No, he's talking about dealing with whatever life gives me, whatever circumstances I'm faced with, without losing my mind, without going off on people, without looking mean and nasty and telling everybody I'm going through, leave me alone. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which means the anointing and his anointing, which strengthens me. So Paul said, but I want you to see it here. He talks about, I've gotten to this place of contentment that I've learned to be okay whether I got a lot of money or little money. Now, how many of you know you got to learn that? You got to learn that. Because something about money in your pocket make you feel a little bit better. Come on, put a little pep in your step. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, you got a little money in your pocket. You got to learn to have some pep in your step when ain't nothing in your pocket. That's not an automatic thing. You got to learn that. That's why Paul said, he said, I wasn't always this way. I learned. Learn means through experience. Learn means is a series of lessons. It's a series of classes. It's a series of experiences. So the longer you go on with God, the more you ought to learn to be content. And the reason why you learn to be content, because you see the faithfulness of God. The longer you go on with God, you see that God is faithful. What? You start off hearing that God is a man that he cannot lie. You start off hearing that he's a doctor in the sick room. And you start off hearing that he's a lawyer in the courtroom. You start off hearing that he'll make a way out of no way. You just hear that stuff. You don't know he's a lawyer in the courtroom until you got a case. And it turns around in your favor. Then you know, come on now, he's a Lord. You don't know he's a doctor in the sick room until you've been in the sick room and the doctors say there's nothing else that they can do or look like you can't get healed of this situation. And now you get healed. Now you know he's a doctor in the sick room. So he said, I learned. Everybody say learned. See, so if you're going to learn God, you have to go through some experiences. Got to go through some classes. Some trial classes. You have to go through some experiences of having everything and having nothing and learning to be content. And so he says, I've learned, I'm instructed. God has taught me. God has taught me how to make it God has taught me to be consistent. God has taught me to be steadfast, immovable, always bound in the work of the Lord. God has taught me that because I don't have it today, don't mean I won't have it tomorrow. Come on. Has God taught anybody those lessons? That's why he said, I learned. And so he said, I've learned to dwell in tents. I've learned to go through these temporary places where it doesn't look the way I want it to look like. And it's not lining up with the vision that I know God gave me. Tent dwelling by faith. Abraham dwelling in tabernacle, dwelling in tent. Tent dwelling means contentment. It also means contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6-8. Paul writes again. He said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So you don't have to be covetous. Live godly, be content, and watch God increase you. Godliness with contentment is gain. This is the formula for increase in the kingdom of God. Live godly, be content, and God will increase you. Amen. In other words, I just be consistent. I do the things that God tells me to do through his word. I live according to his word. I learn to be content, which means, watch this, contentment is an attitude, y'all. So I got to keep the right attitude. Amen. Sometimes is what we will get through whatever we're going through quicker if we can't have the right attitude about it. Like I said, you know, going through doesn't give you the right to be mean and nasty and snapping at people. Amen. And so I live godly. I learn to be content, meaning I have this inner peace that I'm going to be all right. Watch this. I got this inner peace that is all good, even when it don't look good. That's contentment. Got this inner peace that God sees me. Got this inner peace as Job puts it. He knows the way I take. And when he's trying me, I won't come forth. Pure gold. God sees me. So watch this. When you got contentment, you got that inner peace. You don't get on your knees and say, God, do you see me? Lord, do you know what I'm going through? No, he knows. He sees. As a matter of fact, I qualify for this test. I had to be promoted to be in this trial. Glory to God. I wouldn't be going through it unless God knew I could pass it. He wouldn't let me sit for the test, but I wasn't already prepared to go to the next level. So I'm going to be content. Any of y'all ever used to just panic when you sat down to do tests? Just, you know, some people don't test well. Especially whether it's those standardized tests or it's just like your brain shut down. I mean, and I remember going through the sit down. You know, when I first went to college and they sat and had an essay test and they gave some of y'all, I don't know how to do it now. They probably don't do this. It went to college a long time ago, right? 30 years ago. Okay. But they said they gave you these big booklets, blank booklets. They still do that. And I'm like, I'm supposed to fill this whole thing up with answers. You know, remember those booklets used to give you? And he gave you, I'm supposed to know enough to write, fill this whole thing. But you got to learn when you're going for tests. You know, I didn't study. I prepared. It's going to come back to me. Okay. I use it all through college. I use that in context, but it worked for me. Because, you know, the Lord blesses, you know, God blesses your faith. You know what I'm saying? The Lord going to bring all things to my remembrance. Whatever I study, the Lord can bring all things to my remembrance. And when you keep reading the scripture, it says, whatever I taught you. He was talking about the stuff that Jesus taught his disciples. He's going to bring to our remembrance. But I quoted, I use it over my studying and my cramming. And I learned when you sit for a test, you got to relax. It doesn't help you to panic in the middle of the test. Your brain will shut down. Come on now. I've learned in the midst of trials, I got to calm my brain down. I got to calm my spirit down. That's why God gave you the ability to pray in other tongues. Because when you pray in tongues, it shuts your brain down. It shuts your flesh down. And you pray the perfect will of God and the peace of God that passes all understanding. It comes in and keeps your heart in mind. It helps you to think clear and get the mind of Christ and get answers in this situation. So Paul says, 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Somebody said this, you never saw a U-Haul following a hearse. Can't take it with you. I told you about the man who tried, right? Told you about the man who tried to take it with him. He told his wife, he said, the preaching church always talking about, you can't take it with you. He said, when I die, I want you to put all my money in the casket. Whatever I got left. Put all the preacher told me you can't take it with you. I'm taking mine with me. And so he made her promise that she put his money in the casket. And so all his friends, all the relatives knew that he made her promises because he told everybody. And man had a little something, something. And so before he died, he had about $150,000 in the bank. And so, for some reason, you know, she had clothes. It was closed. Everybody couldn't see. And so, her friends, her best friend, said, "Girl, did you put that money in that casket?" He would say, "He made you problem. Did you put that money in there?" She said, "Yeah." "You really did?" Say, "Yeah, I gave him a check." "Well, if he can cash it, more power to him." You can't take it with you. That's what he's talking about, material thing. For we brought nothing into this world. And it's certain we can't carry anything out. So having food and raiment, learn to be content. On your way to where God's taking you, learn to practice. It's a discipline. Contentment is a discipline. Listen. Know how you can tell if you're content? If you can rejoice with somebody else who can buy something that you ain't at the place to buy it yet. If you can rejoice with somebody else's new car, knowing that from what you see, you may be years away from getting a car like that. That's, you don't even need to be thinking about that, and you can rejoice with them. That's how you can tell if you're content. If you can look at somebody dressing better than you and driving better than you and living better than you and rejoice with them without feeling like you need to go charge something to look like them and act like them, then you know you are mastering contentment. Come on now. Because the Bible says in 1 John, all that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now, again, I keep talking, y'all, at the stage I'm in now because 15, 20 years ago, I mean, again, you learn contentment. You learn contentment. You know, when I was coming along, everybody was really preaching prosperity. Everybody, you know, you're supposed to look prosperous, whatever that means. I found that a lot of folks looking prosperous just as broke as Adam's house cat. I didn't even know he had a house cat. Looking, hey, but you know, dressing and buying and, you know, and don't have pot nor window. You fill in the blank. But they're looking the part. You know, I did my share of that too. You know, all the prosperous preachers back in the day were supposed to wear crocodile shoes.
God wants to take you places where you've never gone before, but it's going to take faith. You have to maintain your faith at all times and in all situations along the way. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that on the way to your destination, you may have to face some temporary places and circumstances. But get ready, because God has already cleared the path for your journey. Order today for your love gift of $25 or more and get the bonus message, "Are You Down for the Journey?" by Pastor Chandler Bailey. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Going Where You Haven't Gone Before. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.